I have a story to tell you guys that I was reminded of recently. It's another one of those stories where you're like, oh, Tony, if only you would have known. If only you were as wise as you are now. I know I'm in the future too. So, many of you probably do not know, I was not born here in Arvada. I was born in Greeley, Colorado. It's not too far away, just up north a little bit. But I was raised in this little town called Kersey. It's just a little east of Greeley. Doesn't matter. Lived there on a farm. Now, I lived there till I was about 6 years old. And when I was about five, one of my favorite activities was breaking windows out of the barn. Super fun, right? Has anybody ever broken something glass before? Isn't it the best? You're just like, there's so much like relief. You feel like, oh yeah, I feel accomplished now. Zach's raising his hand. He knows what I'm talking about. Oh, Zach's never broken glass, guys, just so you know. So I loved breaking the glass out of the barn windows. So what I would do is I'd pick up a rock and I'd chuck it through it, right? And you'd hear the shatter, the psh, or whatever, right? Is that pretty close? And it's so great. I loved it. However, my parents didn't like it as much as I loved it. So my parents came up and they confronted me one day. They're like, Tony, did you break the windows out of the barn? And, you know, I did what any five-year-old would do. I lied about it, right? Yeah, I lied about it. And guess what? I didn't get in trouble. That's not the point of the story yet. They went and they fixed the windows out of the barn and, you know, life went on. About 2 weeks later or so, the windows were fixed. There were a couple more rocks outside of the barn, and I still liked the sound of breaking glass, and I still liked throwing rocks through it. So I picked up another rock, chucked it through it. Guess what happened? It was the greatest feeling of my life. Loved it. I don't know if there's anything more than a five-year-old would want than breaking windows. Has anybody broken a window here before? With your head? With a cat? Wow. So breaking glass is awesome. Breaking windows is awesome. Don't do it. But if you ever get a chance just to break something, just for the sake of breaking something, like have you ever gone and hit like a wall with a sledgehammer, like you're like taking drywall out or something like that? It's so great. Just destroying something is awesome as long as it's in a contained environment, right? Tony, you're so right. So the windows are fixed. I break it again. However, something is a little different this time. My dad actually saw me doing it. And so when he came up and confronted me, I didn't really have an excuse. I was not the quick-witted person I am today as a five-year-old. So I was just like, sorry. And so I got in trouble. I probably didn't get spanked because that didn't really work, because I would rather that than be grounded, because, you know, grounding a social butterfly like myself is like the worst thing in the world. Is anybody with me on that one? Has anybody ever been given the choice of like, you're either going to get swats when your dad gets home or you're grounded for a weekend? And you're like, I'll take swats when dad gets home. I can take him. I can wear an extra pair of chones. Right? And so I didn't really quite understand what I was doing was wrong at that point. I got in trouble, but I didn't quite understand. I was five, right? And so the windows got fixed. And then I went and found some more rocks. And I threw some rocks through the windows. Again, do you guys see the pattern that was building in my life a little bit? Loved it. If I got the opportunity to break a window again and not get in trouble, I'd probably do it. It's like blowing up fireworks. It's so fun. It's so good. But I didn't understand what the consequences to my actions were, because there weren't really consequences to my actions as a five-year-old. My parents couldn't make me pay for it. Like, what income did I have? I didn't have the handy workmanship that I have now to replace the windows myself. I could barely write my name. So I didn't quite understand. Breaking glass was fun, and I was five. After the third time, my parents were like, all right, we got to figure something out with this kid. Like, he is, I see those little horns holding up his halo. So what did they do? They sat me down, and they're like, Tony, you cannot break the windows anymore. And here's why. When you break the windows, it's not good. It costs us money. And if you cost us money in that category, we cannot buy you candy. Right? I'm sure that's how the conversation went. And I was like, whoa. I had no idea that's why I wasn't getting candy. Right? So they explained to me what I was doing was wrong. Did I say that correctly? They explained to me what and why what I was doing was wrong. Does that make sense? You guys got it now? Okay, cool. Oh. Words. Right. They explained to me what I was doing was wrong. I dare you guys to try to say that later. Don't do it now. So, and they also sat me down and they're like, Tony, instead of breaking windows, why don't you put your natural talents into something else? Like, you love throwing rocks through windows. Why don't you try T-ball? I love T-ball, guys, but I couldn't hit the ball. I was really good at hitting like the black stick that you put the ball on. I was horrible. But man, I am an athlete now. Yes. Yeah, come to basketball club. Find out yourself. So they told me what I was doing is wrong, and they told me another way to funnel myself, correct? So I was reminded of this story by my mom when I was talking to her about what I'm speaking on this week, and she was like, Tony, that is exactly perfect for what you're speaking on. And so we're continuing our Colossians series this week, as we are looking at the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verses 1 through 14. And if you guys would direct your attention up to the screens, as we would have the lovely Cheryl Morrison reading out of the good book for us.
Colossians 3, 1 to 14. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things, such as anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices, and you have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its creator. Therefore, there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free. But Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself in compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with one another and forgive whatever grievances you have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity.
Awesome. If we can give Cheryl a big round of applause for reading out of the Holy Scriptures for us, that was great. So, you heard all that. Now I'm going to tell you basically what that means. Capiche? Cool? Kaposh. That's not even a word, guys. Get over yourself. So, basically, here is what it means. This scripture was written to people who had had their lives transformed by God already, by Jesus dying on the cross. They had already had their lives changed. And Paul was challenging them to stop doing what they're doing in negatively and to start walking with Christ and to change their negative behavior. Cool? In FSM, we believe that God came, God sent his son to die for us on the cross and to take away all of our sins, past, present, and future, and that if we believe in God and through the power of the Holy Spirit, that our lives will also be transformed. Right? We believe this. So Paul writes that since we have been transformed, that we need to get rid of all of these negative things out of our life. She listed off a whole bunch of them. Remember, there was greed, rage, malice, sexual immorality, lust, etc. Right? Capiche? Thank you. Thank you. So, when I was preparing for this message, I oftentimes like to look at what the message has to say, the message version of the Bible, for just to be clear. I like to see what it has to say because sometimes it has something a little enlightening for myself and sometimes it's a little funny, just the way that they word things. But I really liked what it had to say about this specific thing. It says, stop doing whatever you want, period. I'll say that again. Stop doing whatever you want, period. Or, and then the next verse is said, or whatever attracts your fancy. That's what I thought was a little funny. Attracts my fancy. Sorry, Bible. So, when Paul was writing to the people in Colossians, they didn't know any better to this point, right? They had been living their life all the way up to this point. They had met Jesus. He had transformed their lives, and they continued living their lives. They didn't know that they were supposed to be doing anything differently than what they already had been doing. Does that make sense? Do you guys hear me? You guys hear what I'm saying? That was kind of like, I told you guys a story up top about myself. I didn't quite know what I was doing. I didn't quite understand how my actions affected other people, whether it be my parents or myself. Until they sat me down and told me, I'm just going to read it so I don't mess it up, what and why what I was doing was wrong. But they didn't just stop there and tell me, Tony, you're doing this, it's wrong, stop it. Because how many times do you guys feel like in Christianity, like people are giving us just like a book, the Bible, and it's like, hey, stop doing all these things. I feel that way sometimes, and it's like, what? But why? I like to question why. I'm not a super, what's the word I'm thinking of? No, nope, that's not it. I'm thinking it's struggling to come out right now. Forget it. It's gone. I'm not going to spend too much time on that one word. Nah, that's not it. That's not it. Analytical. I'm not the most analytical person, but I do like to see, I like to know why I'm doing something. I don't want to just be told to do something and not have a real reason why. When you guys were children, or a child, or a twin, or something, you were probably told, hey, don't put your hand on the stove. Anybody? Did anybody test that out? Yeah. What happened? It hurt. It hurt really bad. And then you're like, oh, got it. Don't touch it. Hurts me. Got it. I'm kind of like that. So it wasn't until my parents sat down and explained to me why my actions affected me and other people. This is exactly what Paul is trying to do in Colossians 3. He's telling us, guys, stop doing these dumb things. There's a lot of them. You can go back and read it in a minute. Stop doing these things. But the thing that I really liked is that he told us not just to stop doing something, but he told us what we could do instead. Has anybody ever been offended by somebody? I have. I try not to be offended. It's something I try not to be at all. So good. And have you guys ever, like, forgiven somebody before? Yes. Sometimes forgiving people is hard because people hurt you, and it sucks. But oftentimes, when we choose to forgive somebody, we just choose to, like, forget what they did to offend us or did to hurt us. And we're just like, you know what, that thing, I'm just going to forget about it, and we're going to move on. Right? You guys do that ever? That's what I do. And it doesn't always work out because it resurfaces, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that's why I don't like this person, because they slapped my face. It hurt. However, in counseling, there is this therapy technique that people, counselors use, where they tell you to, think of the thing. So let's say Zach Miller came up. He slapped me. I was really offended because it belittled me, right? I was hurt by it, and I was like, you jerk, and I didn't want to forgive him. I would think of that offense, and then I would forget it. But I wouldn't just forget it. I would replace it with something new. I would replace it with a different memory of Zach, or I would replace it with a new memory that Zach and I have made after I've forgiven him. Now, the key to that is to choose to hold on to that forgiveness. I'm not here to talk to you guys about forgiveness. I'm just using this as an example today. And when we choose to hold on to that forgiveness, it's not always the easiest thing to remember to forgive them. And it's not always instant that we'll forgive them. And we have to be intentional with it. But when that happens, that is the first step to forgiveness. Capiche? Got it? Don't say kapash. I hate that word. That's the worst. Being a follower of Christ is not about what we remove. It's not about taking away the negative things from our lives. It's not taking away sexual immorality, lust, greed, anger, malice, lies. It's not. Christianity is not about taking those things away from our life. Just about. You don't want to do those. It's not just about removing those things. It's about what we replace them with. We have to replace the old things that we have once lived with new things in our lives. And Paul talks about that in Colossians. There are plenty of good people out there that do good things, that are not bad people, that are not evil, that are honest, that aren't Christians. There are plenty of good people that aren't Christians out there. Have you guys met any of them? They're everywhere. But so what separates us, if we just remove all of the negative and bad things from our lives, from them? At that point, nothing. That is the correct answer. What separates them, what separates us, is what we choose to put on and what we choose to replace those negative things with through the power of the Holy Spirit. And Cheryl said it when she was reading through Colossians in the Good Word, that we are to put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, forgiveness, and love. Now let me tell you what, guys. I'm just going to tell you from my personal example. I cannot do those by myself. Do you know how hard you guys are to put up and be patient with every week? It's ridiculous. I cannot do it on my own power. I cannot do it. I have to do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I have to pray to God and be intentional about these, putting on and taking on these things in my life. Sir Tony, that was a good statement. I cannot do it on my own. I cannot take off the bad in my life and put on the good just by myself. I might be able to do it for like an hour, and then I'm going to be doing something stupid again, and later I'm going to be picking up that rock again and throwing it back through the window. Christianity is not all about what we do and what we don't do, but having a transformed life leads to having changed behavior. It's not about works, it's not about deeds, but when we truly have our lives transformed by God, that is when our behavior and our mindset is changed. That's good. That was really good, Tony. Thank you, guys. You guys are so encouraging. You guys are so encouraging tonight. So, To conclude tonight, maybe some of you have never taken off some of those old things in your life. Or maybe some of you have tried doing it multiple times and you're always like, okay, I'm gonna try to do better today. I'm gonna try to not get mad at my little sister. I'm gonna try not to lie. I'm gonna try very hard. And then you find yourself doing it again just the next day. Maybe you've never taken it off. Maybe you've tried and failed over and over again. Maybe you find yourself slipping back into the old life that you thought you had freed yourself from. Tonight, I want to encourage each and every one of you and tell you that you don't have to do it alone. You don't have to walk through life alone. You don't have to go through every trial and every adversity and every hurdle that life throws at us. You don't have to do it alone. There are two big things that we get to do it with on an everyday basis. We get to do it with God through the Holy Spirit. He is there with us all the time, and he is always there to encourage us and help us get through things. The second thing is we get to do it with a community of people that believe the same things that we believe. We get to do it as a youth group together. We get to help each other, and we get to encourage each other and push each other to do better and to stop doing the things that we used to do and to put on love, compassion, kindness, etc. We get to do it together, and it's so fun getting to do it together. I just want to take a minute in conclusion and just pray for us real fast. So I would like everybody to stand up. And I'm just going to pray for us real fast. And then don't go anywhere, please, because I have a couple of very important things for you. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for who you are. We thank you for sending your Son to die for us, Lord. And we just thank you that we can be made new in you and that we are made new in you, Lord. We just pray that you would help us take off the things of old and help us get rid of those things, Lord. But not only that, Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would help clothe us and wrap us in compassion, kindness, patience, humility, and love, Lord, for each and every other person that we come into contact with, and for ourselves and for our family, Lord. Lord, I pray that if anybody in here has been struggling with it, with identity, with who they are in you, with who they are, Lord, I just pray that you would speak life into them today, and we speak life into them today, Lord. And Lord, we thank you that we get to be a community where we can encourage each other, Lord. And we thank you so much for getting to walk through everyday life with you, guiding each and every step. In your name, amen.